So we are holding on Chof Ches Amud Beis, the third to last line of the narrow lines. Chof Ches Amud Beis, the third to last of the narrow lines. The line begins Lamachkan. Okay, we're in the middle of discussing. We mentioned in the Mishnah that you could we mentioned in the Mishnah about the foods that you can make an Eruv with, an Eruv Tchumen, and according to Rashi also Eruv Chatzeres. Hello. And we were going through various kinds of foods. We started going through certain kinds of foods, whether you can or can't use them for an Eruv. And that in turn led us into, there's a number of different areas in Halacha where you have a definition of what's considered food for a certain purpose and what's not. You have, aside from Eruv, you also have the question, is it considered food as far as being a Kabbal Truma? Is it considered food as far as that you can buy it with Maisa Sheni money? As we learned yesterday, we have a limud from a pasuk about there are only certain things that you can buy with Maisa Sheni money. Hello. And you have also the question of whether something is considered food as far as that it's chayav in Maisa or not. So yeah, look. Plus, also you have the question of to what extent, what's the din of something as far as whether you'd make the bracha hadama on it or the shakol. So we're in the middle of that discussion. So again, Chof Ches Amud Beis, the third to last of the narrow lines. Omar, so we brought before Braisa, a mission actually. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kur Hareu Ka'et L'chol. Now, we had the Tanakama in that Mishnah had said that heart of palm, you're allowed to buy it with Maisa Sheni money. It is considered food to that extent, even though right now it's not really edible. The Gemara is going to say soon that you have to cook it. So the thing we have to realize with heart of palm is, first of all, right now as it stands, when you pick it off the tree, you could maybe just barely eat it, but it's really, you need to cook it in order for it to be edible, as we're going to say in a second. And you also have the concern that if you leave it to develop on the tree, it is eventually going to grow hard and it's going to become wood, and therefore you wouldn't be able to eat it at all. So the Tanakama of that Mishnah had said that you're still allowed to buy it with Maisa Sheni money, because the fact is it does grow from the ground. It does fit the criteria we said before. It is pre-mi-pre. It grows from a tree which grew from a previous tree, etc. It is Gedulei Karka. It does grow from the ground. So you can buy it with Maisa Sheni money. But the Tanakama had said it doesn't become Tomei like food does, because it's not considered food. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's considered like that heart of palm is considered like wood for all purposes, with the exception that you can buy it with kesef meiser. So the question is, so Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kur hareu ka'ed for chol dvarav. So Rabbi Yehuda says that kur, heart of palm, is like wood for all purposes in halacha, elosh and nikach for kesef meiser, with the exception that you're allowed to buy it with meiser sheni money. So the question is, hainu tanakama, isn't Rabbi Yehuda basically just saying the same thing as the tanakama? The tanakama is also saying that you can buy it with meiser sheni, but it's not matame tumas ochlin. In other words, which amounts to saying that it doesn't really have the din of food, but on the other hand, it does as far as Maisa Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing. The answer is Amar Abaya, Shokoi v'tignoi ikabenayu. The answer is Abaya says, the argument between them would be, what if you cooked the heart of palm for a long time, or you fried it? Now that makes it, cooking it for a long time, or frying it, makes it edible. So therefore now, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's considered like wood for all purposes, with the exception that you can buy it with Maisa Sheni, he says, I don't care about the fact that you cooked or fried it. The fact of the matter is, it's still basically considered wood. So it's still not metame as food, and it still doesn't have the other dinim of food, with the exception, because the fact that it is pre-mi-pre v'gedulei karka, and it is edible, therefore you can buy it with Maisa Sheni money. As opposed to the Tanakama would say, that no, the Tanakama never said that heart of palm is considered like wood. So as far as the Tanakama is concerned, once you cook it or fry it, then good. Then it would become tomei like any other food. However, maskifla Rava, but Rava asks on that, mi ikal amando amas shoka v'tignoi loy, is there any opinion that would say that if you cooked or fried the heart of palm, it wouldn't be considered food? we learn in a brisa about a different kind of thing which normally is not eaten, but in this case it can be made edible. Ha'orv ha'shoya, the skin of an animal or the placenta of an animal, in metamin tumas ochlin, those are not metameh as food because they're not normally eaten. But if you took the skin and boiled it until you got it to be soft enough to be able to eat, or you took a placenta. Now the placenta itself is soft. You don't really need to cook it. You don't really need to cook it to make it edible. But what you do need is to have a machshava about it, because otherwise it's something fairly disgusting and most people wouldn't eat it. So as long as you had a machshava about it, shechisha v'aleha, that you had in mind about it, that you're going to eat it, then v'tamin tuma sochlin, and then it do become tamei. So we see that even leather, even the skin of an animal, which is something very tough, and it's not normally something eaten at all, but if you actually cook it, if you do a maisa to it, to cook it for a long time, then it is v'tamin tuma sochlin. Why should har palm be any different, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Ella Amar Rava Ikibinayo Bracha. So Rava says, no, you're right. The actual argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim wouldn't be as far as Tumas Eichlin. It's true, if you cooked it or fried it or whatever, then it would be Matama Tumas Eichlin. The question is as far as the Bracha. Do you say on it Ha'adama or Shahakol? The Itzman. So we have a discussion of Amoraim like that. Kur, Rav Yehuda, which is the Amora Rav Yehuda, Amar Bora Prihadama, Ushmul Amar Shahakol Neobadvare. So basically this would be the same machloikas as the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda. The Tanakama would say you say Hadam on it, because right now it's edible, especially after you fried it or boiled it or whatever. Whereas Rav Yehuda, the Tana, would take the view that we're still saying Hareo Ka'etz L'chol Dvarav, it's considered like wood. Okay, you made it edible, that still doesn't mean that it has any other bracha other than Shakol. So here we have the same machlokas among the Amoraim, where Rav Yehuda, the Amora, says it's Bora Pri Hadama, and Shmuel would say it's Shakol. Why? Rav Yehuda, I'm a Bora Pri Hadama Oichlahu, because the fact is, it is food. You can eat the heart of palm, so therefore it's like any other food, and therefore you would say Hadama on it. Or Shmuel, I'm a Shakol. Now, you wouldn't say Ha'etz on it, though, because it's not the primary product of the tree, and because, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, you don't plant a palm tree having in mind to eat the heart of palm. So therefore, it's like you have a general rule we talked about in Brachos that the primary product of a tree gets Ha'etz. The secondary products we talked about, for example, in connection with a plant called slaf, capers in English, where the fruit itself is Ha'etz. But you have certain other things. You have the soft ends of the branches that can be eaten. You have the buds. You have whatever, and those get Hadama. So here it would be the same idea. So you'd say Hadam on it. Ushmolam a shahakol neobidvarei, kivin shasofer lahakshos, because since eventually it's going to become hard, and then it wouldn't be edible at all, because then it's just like the rest. Then it's just like the rest of the wood of the tree. Because you don't plant it for that. You don't plant it for that. It's not going to be ha'etz because it's not the primary product of the tree. You're taking it from a tree, but nevertheless, no. So the maximum it could be, we'll talk about in a second what the halacha is nowadays. Nowadays, it's slightly different, but wait. Anyway, Shmuel says, Shahakol Nirbidvaroi, Kivin Shasofa Lahakshos, because since it's going to become hard, and it's going to become a completely inedible piece of wood, Loim Vachin, Ilave, Bor Pri Hadama. So even now, you can't say Hadama on it, even now when it's soft, because the fact is, it is basically wood, it just right now happens to be wood which is soft. Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, and Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, sharp one, or big toothed one, as we've had in many places in Shas, it was Shmuel's nickname for his Talmud Rav Yehuda, Kavasich Mistabra, it's logical to say, even though I say that it's Shakol, I can understand the logic behind your position, because after all, consider the case of a radish also, if you let it grow in the ground, eventually is going to become hard and inedible, and yet we say Adama on a radish, so the same thing should be true as far as this heart of palm. However, the Gemara says Veloihi, that's actually not a valid comparison, because the difference is snowing, not the inch yadait of the fugla. Because the difference is people plant radishes with the intention of eating them when they're still soft. Fugla means a young radish. So they actually have that in mind when they plant them. As opposed to dikla, like not the inch yadait of the kura. People don't plant a palm tree intending to eat the kur, intending to eat the heart of palm, especially because actually taking out the heart of palm damages the tree. It causes, basically, you have to think of it, we're talking about a date palm tree or other closely related species like that. The heart of palm basically is, it's the bud from which the new branches of the tree are going to grow. Like you have the lulav, the new branch of that year or that season or whatever is going to grow from that. You take that out, therefore, so that the tree is not going to grow any more branches and eventually it's going to die. So if you eat a heart of palm, it's not something you planted the tree for to begin with. Therefore, it can't be Hadama. So one second, I'll explain that. But Afagav the Kalsish Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda. So even though Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda's logic, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's Hadama and Shmuel agreed it should be similar to a radish, nevertheless, since the Gemara is pointing out it's not actually a valid comparison, Hilchsa Kavasei to Shmuel, the Halacha is like Shmuel that you would say Shakol on it. Now, what about nowadays? So nowadays, you can buy hearts of palm in the store. A big difference is that nowadays they harvest them from trees that are grown specifically for that purpose. They don't get them from date palms, because again, you have the same problem that you're going to kill the tree by taking it. There are other species of palms. There are other species and varieties of palms where they have multiple things on top of them, and therefore you can take off one heart without killing the rest of the tree, and they cultivate a type of palm specifically for that purpose. So the poskim nowadays say, therefore, so it would be Hadama. You even have some poskim, I think I've seen that, of Heinemann, for example, says it should be Ha'etz, because those trees are primarily grown for the heart of palm nowadays. They do produce an actual fruit, but the actual fruit itself, you can buy it, I guess, in specialty stores, but it's not the main thing that people get from that palm. So he argues that it would be Ha'etz. Most other poskim say that it would be Hadama. The kind of palms we're talking about now that they grow hard a palm from, they grow tall like regular palm trees. You still have to go up and collect the hard a palm from the top of it. So that's the thing. So it's definitely not Shakol anymore, because now we don't have the logic of the Gemara that they don't plant it for that purpose. The question is, would it still be Hadama, because the fact is it's not the fruit of the tree, it's a different part of the tree, or would it be Ha'etz, according to Rav Heinemann, because the fact is that you do plant these trees having in mind specifically to harvest the hearts of palm from them. The Velt holds that they're Hadama, and after all, the halacha is if you have a suffix about something, whether to say Ha'etz or Hadama, you say Hadama, so that would be the practical thing to do, yeah. Okay. The lulav, I think, grows either from the heart of palm or like next to it or something, So that's the thing. So you have some palm trees, like date palms, which is what we get lulavim from, where you have only one lulav grows on it, and then you have eventually that branch matures and the leaves spread apart, and then the next season another one grows and so forth. And then you have trees like these, it's called a peach palm, that they get these heart of palm from, where they have it grows multiple lulavim in a year. I don't think those lulavim would be kosher for sukkahs, because they have to be from kapos tmarim, they have to be the branch of a date palm tree, and these aren't date palms, these are a different kind of palm. Same reason why you couldn't use a branch from a coconut tree or something, those are also palms, but the definition in halacha and the definition in the scientific definition are two different things, but yeah. Okay. Onward. Kapos means the branch. Kapos means the closed branch, tmarim, of a date palm. Yeah. Gufa. Okay, getting back to something we said before, we learned yesterday. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Kshus Achazes Ma'arin Behen. We said you're allowed to make an Eruv Tchumin, and again, according to Rashi, Eruv Chatzeres, and also Shituf Mavoyas. All these halachas, by the way, are brought in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch in connection with Shituf Mavoyas. So again, we said you have Eruv Chatzeres to be able to carry in your Chatzer. You have Shituf Mavoyas where all the Chatzeres join together to be able to carry in the Mavoy. And then you have Eruv Tchumin. In the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, they give so here in the Gemara, we're just saying Bakol Ma'arvin or Mishtafin, we started talking about Eruv and then Shituf in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, the dinim of Eruv and the dinim of Shituf come before the dinim of Eruv Tchumen. So therefore, when they talk about these dinim, about what you can use and how much of each you need to use, they put them in the halachas of Shituf. The same halachas would apply to Eruv Tchumen, though. Okay, anyway. So Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rab that you're able to make an Eruv with Kshus, which we said was a parasitic plant that grows on bushes and whatever, and then they take it and they use it in making beer. And you're allowed to make an Eruv with Chozes, which is wheatgrass. So we said in the end that there's a certain kind. We said there's a kind that grows, that's cultivated in gardens. So that kind is normal to eat, as opposed to the regular kind we said where they only eat in Bavel and even made Bavel Daitan. So we said you could make an Eruv with them, umavorch and aleim ber pri hadama, and you would say hadama on them. So now we have to figure out how much of each one do we need. The basic rule is that for an Eruv Tchumen, you need, for an Eruv Tchumen, or for a Shituf Mavoyas, if you have relatively few people in the Mavoy, then you need 2 suddas worth of food for each one. So if we're talking about bread, for example, then it's very simple. It's just the amount of bread that you'd eat with 2 meals. But if you're talking about other kinds of things, the basic idea is, it's the amount of that food that you would eat together with 2 meals. Lalapas Vayas Apas is the expression in the Gemara and in the Poskim, that you would use to dip or to accompany the bread. You don't just eat bread by itself. You eat it together with some other kind of accompaniment. So that's the general rule. So now we have to figure out, for specific kinds of foods, how much that comes out to be. By the way, it's an interesting thing. The Or Zeruah points out, so if the point of an Eruv Tchumen, again, we said, is that where your food is, it's considered that's your home base for Shabbos. So in that case, on Shabbos, you're supposed to eat 3 meals. Why don't we say you have to have 3 meals worth of food? Why only 2? He says, because practically speaking, if you make an Eruv Tchumen, you don't usually go out Shabbos night. You usually go out only during the day. So by that point, you've already eaten one of your Shabbos meals. Fine. So how much? The answer says there's a kshus b'kama. So the question is, how much kshus would you need for an Eruv? So the answer is, kid omer Rabbi Yechiel, kimloi hayad, as we find Rabbi Yechiel says in a couple of lines in the Gemara about a different kind of thing, that the amount would be a handful, hochanami kimloi hayad. So the answer with kshus would be the same thing. A handful of it is enough to make an Eruv tchumen with. But pashrus, I guess if you're eating, that would be enough for 2 meals. In other words, the idea is you don't eat very much kshus at any one time. If you're going to eat it, it's just going to be a tiny little thing that you eat together, with bread, that you eat together with a meal. It doesn't matter. The fact that it's enough to be, that you could make 2 meals out of it is enough. So hochanami kim layayad. So the same thing over here, a handful of kshus is enough. What about choses bekama? How much of this choses, of this wheatgrass, would be valid for an Eruv Tchumen? Amar Rav, Bar Tuvia, Bar Yitzchok, Amar Rav, Kinloy Uzilta De'ikri. The size of the standard bundle that farmers make. When farmers are bundling up this choses to sell in the market or whatever, they had a standard size bundle of it that they would make in those days. So that size bundle is the size you'd need for an Eruv Tchumen. It could be a lot, I don't know. We don't know anything. Amr of Chilki of Atruvia, Ma'arvin Bekalia. Here's another deed. Really?
Want a glass of water?
No, I'm good, thanks. Ma'arvin Bekalia. You're able to make an Eruv with Kalia. Rashi explains that Kalia is a kind of grass that's very hard. So Rashi doesn't specify what it is. It could be something like bamboo or something, but you're able to make an Eruv with it. On the bottom over here, it brings an explanation from the Oruch that Kalia is a kind of plant that you burn it and make soap out of it. There's certain kinds of plants that have soap-like materials in them, and you burn them and you use the ashes of them are useful as a kind of soap. In the olden days, that is one of the ways they would make soap. So the Gemara says, for Kalia, Sakudai, what do you mean? How can you possibly make an Eruv with Kalia? According to Rashi, it's too tough to eat. And according to the Aruch, you make soap out of it. And you can't eat soap. Ela b'yauka the Kalia. No, what we mean is the greenery of the Kalia. So in other words, the Kalia itself may be hard, but the green leaves of it are soft. Or it could mean when it's green, when it's still young and fresh. According to the Aruch, same idea. Before you burn it to make the soap, it is in principle edible. So therefore, you could make an Eruv with it. The Kama, how much of it would you need? Again, Amar Rav Yechiel kimloi hayad, a handful. Okay. Another case, Rabbi Yirmiyah Nafak L'Kiryasa. Rabbi Yirmiyah one time went out to the villages because he had grain growing over there and he wanted to check on how it's developing. Bo Mine, so while he was there, the villagers asked him, Mahu La'arav Bepulin Lachin, are you allowed to make an Eruv with fresh beans? Now, the question is like this. If they were dried and not cooked, then there's no question you can't make an eruv with them because they're not edible right now. You'd have to cook them first. So I forgot, by the way, when we finished the part about Tumas Oichlin and whatever, so we have to summarize. So we have four or five different dinim where we have to figure out, is something considered a food or not for purposes of that din, and the criteria are slightly different for each one. So when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, the rule is it has to be something which is edible. With Eruv Tchumen is similar. So with Eruv Tchumen, it has to be edible right now. If it's not something that's edible right now, even though it could be cooked, you can't use it for an Eruv Tchumen because it has to be Sodah HaRa'uya. For Tumas Oichlin, the rules are a little more lax. It could be something that needs a little bit of preparation to make it, to make it edible, and then it would still be Metamet Tumas Oichlin. On the other hand, when it comes to the other things, when it comes to can you buy it with Meiser Sheni money, and is it Chayev and Meiser, then we have other criteria. To buy with Meiser Sheni, it doesn't even need to be edible right now. As long as it was pre the Gedulei Karka, then you can buy it. So, for example, there's no question, for example, that you'd be able to buy dried beans with Meiser Sheni money, because you have to cook them, but fine. That for Meiser Sheni purposes, that doesn't matter. It also doesn't matter if it's not Gmar Pere, if it's not a mature fruit. As far as buying with Meiser Sheni, that's why we said yesterday that you were able to buy kafnias, these unripe dates, with it, for example. On the other hand, when it comes to is it Chayiv and Meiser, then we have to see, is it Gmar Pere? Is it actually a completely developed thing, or has it at least, for this particular thing, has it reached the maximum development it's going to reach? So we said yesterday that kafnias, for example, you have the ones from the male trees versus the female trees, where the male ones aren't going to develop any further, the female ones are going to develop into dates, and therefore the male ones would be. We had Rabbi Huda saying they're potter from Meiser because he considers they're still not complete yet, and the Chum saying they're chayev in Meiser because they consider them complete. But so as far as Meiser, it depends whether it's Gmar Peira. It doesn't matter whether right now it's edible, but it does have to be Gmar Peira. So and then you have as far as brachas, the rule basically is. Is it something that people normally eat, and is it something that was planted for that purpose? For Eruvin, we're saying that it has to be something that's edible right now. So, again, unlike Tumas Oichlin and unlike a number of these other dinim, where we don't even, for example, we said as far as Har Palm, it's not really edible right now when you take it off the tree. You have to cook it, you have to fry it or whatever. It can still be Metame. So we still said, actually, it's still not Metame Tumas Oichlin because the fact is, right now, it's not edible and because Sofer Lahakshoi. So it's not something, the point is, in other words, rather, when it comes to Tumas Oichlin, it's not something that is meant to be, that's usually designated to be eaten. Again, nowadays, if they harvest them specifically for that purpose, it might be different, but in those times where it was just an incidental thing that you got from a tree that's going to, let's say, a tree that's going to die anyway, or a tree that you wanted to kill off anyway, so therefore, it's not something that's lachatchila meant to be eaten, because if you let it develop, then it's going to become hard like wood, and the only way to make it edible even to begin with is by cooking and frying it a lot, so therefore, it wouldn't be metamet Tumas Oichlin.
So,
Gris and Shalpul, yeah. So now let's get back to the part of the Gemara where we're at now, at the bottom of the Amud. So pool is bean, is a certain kind of bean or pea or whatever. So the question is, are you allowed to make, so the pashas, we're not talking of peas like the kind that you buy in the store now, because those you can eat raw, no question about it. The question, I guess, would be, so the pool over here in the Gemara, the pashas means something more like a certain kind of bean. Like you have,
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so the question is, are you allowed to make an eruv with fresh ones? So again, the question is, if they were dry and not cooked, then there's no question you can't, because right now they're not edible, and you need sudah haroya. But since they're fresh, some people will eat them. Maybe some people will eat them that way, but most people will cook them first. So loy haba biyade, he didn't know the answer. Ki osel be medrash, or when Rabbi Yirmiyah came to this medrash, omer loy hochi omer Rabbi Yanai, ma'avin bepulin lachin. Yes, you're allowed to make the eruv with fresh beans. Okay, v'kama, and how many of that do you need? Again, omer Rabbi Yechiel kim loy hayad. So again, Rabbi Yechiel says the amount that was a handful. Okay. Omer Rav Hamnuna, another kind of vegetable. Let's talk about Rav Hamnuna says ma'avin betrodin chayin. you're allowed to make an eruv with fresh trudin. Trudin means either beets or spinach. They're very closely related plants. So it's not always in modern Hebrew, they use the word tered to mean spinach. In the Gemara, it seems that trudin usually means beets. Anyway, so you're allowed to make an eruv with, let's call them beets then. You're allowed to make an eruv with fresh beets. Well, right. So, yeah, it's... We're talking about the root, Mepashtus. So the question is, Eini, is that so? V'ha'amar Rav Chista silka chaya koto gavra chaya. Rav Chista says that raw silka, raw beets, can kill a live person. In other words, they're not safe to eat when they're raw. So if they're not good to eat, then how can you make an eruv with them? The answer is ahuba boshel v'lay boshel. That's talking about when they're dangerous is when they're only partially cooked. So then they're dangerous for you. So then, yeah, you can't make an eruv with them partially cooked. The Rambam actually learns that this thing about boshel v'lay boshel is not just about beets, but vegetables in general. The Rambam learns you can make an eruv with fresh vegetables, you can make an eruv with fully cooked vegetables, but not with ones that are only half cooked. Yes. Ikadamri, Amar of Hamnuna, another version of the discussion goes that Rav Hamnuna says, Ein ma'avin betrodin chayin. The first version was Rav Hamnuna said, you could use raw beets. We said, raw beets are dangerous. The answer is they're not. Only if they're half cooked are they dangerous. The second version is that Rav Hamnuna says, Ein ma'avin betrodin chayin, that you're not allowed to make an eruv with fresh beets. The Amar of Chista Silka Chaya Kato Gavra Chaya. As we see, that Rav Chista says that raw beets are dangerous and can kill even a live and healthy person. So the question is, V'hoka Hazin and D'ka'ach Levi Maisi. We see people do eat raw beets and they don't die from it. The answer is Hosim Boshel Le Boshel. The answer is that Rav Chista is talking about when they're only partially cooked. That's when they're dangerous for you. But if they're raw, then they're okay. Yeah. Okay. In this connection. So I don't know. I mean, neshanu ativim to a certain extent. I don't know. I haven't. I don't know anybody who ate partially cooked beets and lived to tell about it. But I also don't know anybody who didn't live to tell about it. You know. So yeah, I don't know. Okay. Amar of Chista. So in this connection, Rav Chista says, "Tav shol shol trudin yafal alei v'tov leinayim." A cooked dish of beets is good for your heart and good for your eyes. V'choshekim l'bnei me'ayim, and all the more so, it's good for your stomach. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says it depends how thoroughly cooked it is. V'hudi yosiv abay tafi, that works only, it's only healthy for you if you put it on the stove, where you put a pot up to boil, and you cook it thoroughly, v'ovid tuch tuch, and it gets cooked so much that it makes a sound, like you have sometimes when something is bubbling on the stove, it makes a sound, tuch tuch. So then you know it's thoroughly cooked, and then you know it's good for you. It wasn't really a Kavach HaOmer, but we're saying that these cooked beets are good for your heart and good for your eyes, and all the more so for your stomach. Because most foods, you know, it's not really a Kavach HaOmer, but I guess the idea is most foods, most foods are okay for your stomach. They might not be good for some other parts of your body. Here, if we're saying it's good for your eyes and for your heart, then it must be good for your stomach as well. Could be. I don't know. All right. Amar Rava, Hareini ki ben Azai b'shukei Tveria. One time Rava said, I'm like Ben Azai in the streets of Tveria, meaning Rava was in a good mood that day. So he says, now Ben Azai was known to be very sharp in Torah. He knew everything in Oikohor. He was an Oikohorim. He knew how to figure out anything in Torah. So one day, Rava was in a good mood. He says to his Talmidim, I feel today like Ben Azir, the Shukit Tveria, like I'm ready to take on anybody who will ask me a question in Torah that I can answer it. So one of the Rabbanon asked Rava, Tapuchim Bakama, when it comes to an Eruv, how much apples do you need in order to make an Eruv? Omer lei, so Rava answers him, v'chim ha'avin v'tapochim, are you b'chlal able to make an eruv with apples? Now, why not? What would be the problem with apples? So there's three explanations among the Rishonim. Tosfos earlier in the Perek explains that Rava knew, of course Rava knew that you can make an eruv with apples. He wanted to test this guy and see if he's going to come up with a valid proof that you can use apples for an eruv, as in fact, we're going to go through the discussion now in the Gemara. Tosfos also mentions over there, but doesn't like, an explanation that maybe we're talking about here about wild apples. Maybe domesticated, cultivated apples, sure, there'd be no problem, same as all the other foods we mentioned so far, but maybe wild apples would be different. Tosfos themselves doesn't like that explanation, but there are other Rishonim who learn that that's what it means. And then a third possibility that Rashba says is maybe Rava held, you can only make an Eruv with something which is part of the actual meal itself. So all the things we mentioned so far, you eat them by themselves sometimes, you might make a meal of just them by themselves, or you eat them together with bread. Apples are neither, you eat them for dessert. So maybe that would be a different kind of thing. Okay. So the Gemara says, Veloy, so what do you mean? Why shouldn't you? So according to the third one, it would come out, yeah, that he was mistaking it. So the Gemara says, "V'loid, what do you mean? No, you can't use apples for an eruv." Well, Hatznan, we learn in a Mishnah, "Kol ha'ochlan mitstarfin lifsel sagvia b'chatsi pras." All foods, and apples are food, do combine together. As far as that, if a person eats food that is tamei, then his body becomes tamei, and he can't eat truma until he goes to the mikveh, to din d'rabbanan. The Gemara discusses it in the first parak of Shabbos. The chatsi pras, if he ate a half a pras of it, so a pras is, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that a pras is the size of 3 or 4 eggs, as we're going to discuss the details of how we calculate it. So a half a pras would be half of that, 1.5 or 2 eggs worth. So the Chachamim made a gzera that if a person eats food that is tamei, then he himself becomes tamei, and he has to go to the mikveh before he can eat truma. So all foods, including apples, combined to that, over mazon shtei sodas la'eruv, all foods combined together as far as making up the two meals for an eruv, the kabetza latana tomas ochlin, and all foods combined together to a kabetza to be matame other food. It's a machlokas of Rishonim, whether food itself to become tame, whether you need a kabetza or not, or whether even a smaller amount of food in one place can become tame. But everybody agrees that to be matame other food, you need a kabetza. And the Mishnah is saying that this applies to all foods. So apples are a food, so therefore they should, and the Mishnah said that they can be used towards an Eruv, so they should be able to be used. So the Gemara says, so what? Behind my Tiyuvda, so what kind of a question is that? You're going to say, because it mentioned all foods, Vahani B'nachilin, you know, and you're going to say, okay, apples can be eaten, so therefore they have to be in that rule. So what? We learned at the beginning of the parak, we already have Rabbi Yechanan telling us that just because we have a general rule in a Mishnah, even when it says an exception, doesn't mean that everything is included. There might be things that are excluded that the Mishnah didn't bother mentioning. So maybe the Mishnah means most foods can be used for an Eruv and are mitzvah for these various purposes, but apples not. So there's no proof from that Mishnah that you can use apples for an Eruv. Ela mashum de katani over mazon shtei sodas la'eruv v'kabetza latame tumas ochlin. No, the reason is because the Mishnah mentions together, side by side, the two meals for an eruv and the kabetza to be matame tumas ochlin. So the fact that it puts it together implies that whatever would be subject to the dinim of tumas ochlin, which includes apples, is able to be used for an eruv. So the fact that it's together, the Mishnah had begun with Mitzarf and Lifsol Sagvia, which implies already that they're Matame Tumas Ochlin. So the fact that it repeats it again together with Eruv implies that there's a connection between them. Anything that's Matame Tumas Ochlin, it can be used for an Eruv. So apples are in that category. So, and therefore, Vahani Nami Bnei Tamoya Tumas Ochlin Inu. Apples can become Tamei Tumas Ochlin, so therefore they should be able to be used for an Eruv. So yes, according to the various explanations, so again, according to Tosfos' explanation, Rava knew all along that you can make an Eruv with apples. He was just testing this guy, and he passed the test because he was able to find a valid proof that you can use apples for an Eruv. According to the second explanation, Rava may have only been talking about wild apples, but domesticated apples, there's no question you could use. And according to the third explanation, yeah, it would mean that Rava thought that you can't use things that are used for dessert, and we see that it's not so. You can use things that are used for dessert. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you can even use wild apples in the end. Since we don't have a proof one way or the other to say we're just saying that you can use apples, then it means even wild apples. As long as it's edible, right? We're talking about Erev Tchumen. According to Rashi, also Erev Chatzeres, but all the other Rishonim disagree with that. And Shituf Mavoyas. Yes. Yes. Okay. Right. So Erev Chatzeres, maybe, maybe not. Right. Okay. Bekama. So now, okay. So now that we established that you can use apples for an Erev, how much do you need? Amar Rav Nachman Tapuchim Bekav. You need a kav of apples. A kav is around 3 pounds. It is a lot. So the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Now, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is not talking in connection with Eruv. He's actually talking in connection with a din involving Maiser Oni. Now, you have like this. Sometimes you have your Maiser Oni is in your granary, in your storage area or whatever, and the Aniyim come over there and you give out to each one. As opposed to, let's say you could have, you bring your Maiser Oni to your house and the Aniyim come to the door and you give each person who comes. So if you're giving it out to them in the garden, in the granary, then you have a minimum amount you have to give each person if you have enough. If you don't have enough, then the din is you just put, if let's say, for example, we're saying over here, we're going to mention over here, let's say that you have, let's say, one esrog per person. So let's say you have 20 aniyim and you only have 10 esrogim, then fine. You don't give each one of them a half an esrog. You put the esrogim down on the ground and they can take for themselves. But if you have enough, then you have to give at least one esrog. And so we're going to mention that Rav Shimon ben Elazar is going to give rules like that for a number of different kinds of foods. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar, uchla tavlin, when it comes to spices, you have to give them at least an uchla. Rashi defines that an uchla is 1/8 of a litra, where a litra, Rashi says, is the same as a lug. So a lug is approximately a pound or a little bit less than a pound. So an uchla would be 1/8 of that. The Rambam defines it a little bit differently. The Rambam defines that a litra is a half of a lug, and then an uchla is a quarter of that. It comes out the same thing according to both Rashi and the Rambam. It comes out that an uchla is 1/8 of a lug. So it comes out in modern terms, according to Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, it would be about an ounce and a half. It would be half a revius. Anyway, so you have to give them at least that amount of spice. The litra yerek, or a litra of vegetables, according to Rashi, a litra would be a lug, according to the Rambam would be a half a lug. Of asora egozin, or if you're giving them nuts, like walnuts or whatever, it has to be at least 10. V'chamisha afarsikin, peaches, it has to be 5. Ushnei rimonim, 2 pomegranates. V'esrog echad, or 1 esrog. And v'omav gursak badori mishmeidera menashi bashkuvli mishmeidera v'chein la'eruv. So and Gursach Bar Dori is saying in the name of Rav Menashe Bar Shguvli, who in turn is saying in the name of Rav, Lechein La'eruv. These rules apply to an Eruv also. So all of these amounts that Rav Shimon ben Elazar mentioned as far as Maaser Oni, the same rules apply to an Eruv. So now the question is, so why by peaches is it enough 5 peaches? And apples, you need a kav, v'hani nami lehevo ki afarsikin. So apples should be similar to peaches in that regard. You should only need a few of them. The answer is hani chashivi, v'hani lo chashivi. The answer is peaches are something choshuv, apples are not. So therefore, so peaches, 5 of them is enough. When it comes to Maaser Oni, the expression is Vinasate la Levi la Geir la Yosem la Amana v'ochlu b'sharecha v'saveu. You have to give them, and they have to be full. So therefore, you have to give them enough that they can eat it with meals and be full. So when it comes to peaches or these other things, then five of them is enough to eat together with 2 sugars. When it comes to apples, because they're not choshuv, so again, if we're talking about wild apples. Then what we mean is wild apples are not choshuv, and therefore you need a kav of them. The implication then would be that domesticated apples you could get away with a lot less. But actually the Mechaber brings this matter of a kav only as far as wild apples. He doesn't say what you would need for domesticated apples, which may imply that he holds less. But various Noisa Kalim on Shulchan Aruch over there, the Eliyahu Rabbah and others say that no, the same din would apply to domesticated apples as well, and the Alter Rebbe brings that in the end. So in the end, if you're using apples, since we don't have clearly in the Gemara how much fewer you would need, then the halacha remains that you would need a kav of them. It could be that that's the difference, that apples are available all year and peaches are not, so therefore maybe peaches are considered more kosher. Could be.
Apples should be, because it's more available, it should be able to be used and not have to eat so much.
Maybe, but on the other hand, you could argue the other way around. Because they're available all year, therefore they're like less important. The truth is, I don't know. I mean, nowadays they're available all year, but nowadays a lot of fruits are available all year. I don't know. From the olden days, apples were. Yeah. I mean, in the olden days, I don't know if apples were available all year. Yeah, but they give fruit only at certain times of the year, and unless you have a way of preserving it, then it's going to spoil. Apples ripen in the fall. So in the fall you're gonna have apples, and then in the spring or the summer you're not necessarily. Yeah, nowadays they freeze them or they whatever, but they, you know, in the olden days they didn't have the ability to do that. Okay, I don't know. All right, onward. Okay, so we said that Gursek Bardori had said in the name of Rav Menashe Bashagubli, in the name of Rab, that the same amounts that Rav Shimon ben Elazar had said as far as Maisa Oni also apply as far as the Eruv. So now, on that, Amar Rav Yosef, Shrole Mori Rav Menashe Bashagubli, may Hashem forgive Rav Menashe Bashagubli for saying the wrong thing. Because I told him this statement that Rav says, that the same applies to an Eruv. I mentioned it to him in connection with a Mishnah, and he instead said it on the Braisa. Now, first let's quote the Mishnah, and then we'll figure out, so what's Rabbi Yosef's problem with Rabbi Menashe Bashkovli? So, what's the Mishnah? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah at the end of Peah. Ein person la'oni begoren mechatsi kav chitin. Again, if you're going to be giving out maisa oni to the poor people at the granary, at the storage house, then you have to give each one a minimum amount, because again, v'ochol b'sharecha v'saveu. So if you're giving them wheat, you have to give them at least a half a kav of wheat. A kav sa'orin, or a kav of barley. Rameo or mechatsi kav. Rameo says barley, also a half a kav is enough. Chatsi kav sa'orin. The kav chatsi kusnin, continues the Mishnah, if you're giving them spelt, it has to be 1.5 kavim. Spelt is it's a grain, similar, it's a grain related to wheat, but it's, I guess, nowadays they use it sometimes, let's say people who have gluten intolerance or celiac or whatever might use it for matzah, but it's less cleaned up, or it's less edible, or whatever it is, so you need more of it in order to feel full, yeah. But kav grogeris, if you're giving him dried figs, you need to give him a kav. Oy monadvela, or if you're giving him the figs pressed into a cake, then you have to give him a mona of it. Now, Rashi explains that a litra is a measure of volume. Most of the measurements we have in Shas, a lug, a kav, a saw, and so forth, are really measurements of volume. A mona is a measure of weight. Now, so why before we mentioning litra, and now we're mentioning a mona? Rashi explains, once you made them into a cake, then you don't sell them by volume anymore, then you sell it by weight. So therefore, when it comes to grogers, when it comes to loose grogers, you still sell them by volume. So therefore, the Mishnah mentions a volume. Therefore, the Mishnah mentions a litra. But once you made them into a cake, you press them together into a cake, then already you sell pieces of it by weight. And therefore, it uses the word mona, which is a weight. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Oyma Pras. Rabbi Akiva says it wouldn't be a mona of cake of pressed figs. It would be a half a mona. And the Mishnah continues, v'chatsi lug yayin. If you're giving him wine, it has to be at least a half a lug. Rabbi Akiva Oyma Revius. Rabbi Akiva says also it has to be less, just a quarter of a revius. And just a quarter of a lug. Or revius shemen, or revius of oil. Rabbi Akiva Oyma Shminis. Again, Rabbi Akiva says only half of that, an eighth of a lug of oil. Ushar kol aperis, and then what about other kinds of fruits? What's the amount for them? Omer Abba Shol, kadesh shigim kadem. There has to be. You give the poor person enough of those fruits, so he can sell them. V'yikach ben mazen shtei sodas, and use it to buy food for two meals. And on that, Rabbi Yosef says, v'omerav b'chein la'eru. So Rabbi Yosef says, on that, Rav had said the same applies to an eru. So now Rabbi Yosef is upset with Rabbi Menashe Bashagubli for saying that the statement of Rav actually refers to the Braisa of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So the question is, so what's the problem? So why is one stronger than the other? What's wrong if he says it on the Braisa? The Braisa is also talking about the same kind of din. Now, So what's the problem? So in fact, one explanation is that Rabbi Yosef's problem is just that Rabbi Menashe Bashagubli said the wrong thing. If Rabbi Yosef had told him that Rav is referring to the Mishnah, then he doesn't have the right to change it and say something that's not true, that Rav was referring to the Braisa. On the other hand, Tosfos learns that what it is Rabbi Yosef didn't hear explicitly that Rav was referring to the Mishnah. Rav Yosef figured out, based on a consideration that the Gemara is going to mention, that Rav Yosef must have been referring to the Mishnah. And therefore, now he's upset at Rav Menashe for instead referring it to the Braisa, which is not correct. So not just the fact that Rav didn't actually say it on the Mishnah. Rav Yosef himself, doesn't know for a fact that Rav said it on the Mishnah, but he deduced it based on something that we're going to say in the Gemara, and therefore he's upset with Rav Menashe for misunderstanding that and instead referring it to the Braisa. So the question is, why is the Mishnah any stronger than the Braisa, that Rav Yosef figures that Rav's statement must have been about the Mishnah rather than about the Braisa? Are you going to say because Rav Shimon ben Elazar's Braisa refers to spices, the tavlin lav ne'achilininu, and you're going to say spices can't be eaten by themselves, so you shouldn't be able to make an eruv with them, so you can't say a blanket statement that everything that Rav Shimon ben Elazar mentioned could be used for an eruv, because that wouldn't be correct? But in that case, so what? So what? The Mishnah also mentions wheat and barley. You can't eat wheat and barley by themselves either. And yet the Mishnah has mentioned them. And if Rav Yosef is saying that Rav's statement referred to that Mishnah, then you'd also have, obviously, in other words, the point is, whether it's referring to the Mishnah or the Braisa, either way, you have things listed that you can't use for an Eruv, because you can't eat them as is. Spices in the Braisa, wheat and barley in the Mishnah. So that's not a reason to say so sharply about Rav Menashe bar Shkruvli, may Hashem forgive him for saying the wrong thing. No, the reason is because the Mishnah had mentioned a half a log of wine, according to the Chachamim, that you have to give the poor person. The Amar Rav Ma'arvin B'Shtei Revi Yisro Yayin. Rav says that you have to make that to make an Eruv, you need two revias of wine, which implies, now two revias equals half a log. But the point is, why did Rav have to stress that point? Why did he have to davka stress two revias of wine, which equals a half a log, midba'inen kolahai, since he was saying you need that much wine, shmamina ki amara, b'chein la'eruv, ahamas nesen ka'amar. That shows that when Rav said b'chein la'eruv, he must have been referring to this Mishnah, and he wanted to stress that you shouldn't think that it can't possibly be right. Why would you need two revias of wine? Why would you need a half a log of wine? Mela, in other words, for the poor person, for the achol b'sharacha v'saveu. But for an eruv, why would you need that much? So therefore, he has to stress in connection with the Mishnah that no, the amount is the same for an eruv. So for the eruv, you need more than shteis for this, and because you drink a revias with each meal, therefore you need two, yeah. Okay. So that's what we're going to discuss soon, whether we're talking with the water or without the water. Yeah, good point. So, Amamar, over Mazen Shtei Sudas La'eruv. Now, we said that various kinds of foods combine together to make up the two Sudas for an Eruv. Sovar Rabbi Yosef Lameima, so Rabbi Yosef thought to say, Ad Ikka Sudamehai or Sudamehai. Rabbi Yosef thought to say, okay, it doesn't mean that you can have a little bit of one food and a little of the other. It means you have to have one Sudas worth of one kind of food, and then you can have the second Sudas can be of a different food, but you can't just mix together a whole bunch of different kinds of food. But Rabbah tells him that no, you could even have each food could consist of a half or a third or a quarter of the soda. You can have that each individual soda can be made up of many different kinds of foods. You can have a little bit of something and a little bit of something else and whatever, as long as it adds up to Mazen Shtei Sodas. Okay. Gufa. Getting back to, we said, Omer Rav Ma'arvin B'Shtei Revias Shoyayin, we said that you can make an Eruv with two Revias of wine. So now you mentioned about the question of the water or not. That we're going to take up on Omer Beis. But first we have to figure out, Umi Ba'inen Kulahai, why would you need that much wine for an Eruv Chatzeres, for an Eruv Tchumen rather? V'artani Rav Shimon Alazar, Yayin Kedei Lechaboy, wine you only need the amount that you would eat with it, meaning that you would dip the bread of two sodas into the wine, which is a lot less than two revias. Chomets kedei l'tavlboy. Similarly, vinegar, if you're going to use it for an eruv tchumen, you need enough to be able to dip bread into. Over tzolim kedei l'tavlboy zesim, so enough to be able to dip olives into to eat them. Over tzolim kedei lechem and shtei sodas. And when it comes to onions, you need enough onions that you would be able to eat with two sodas. So we see that wine, you only need enough to be able to dip the bread of two sildas in, which is less than two revias. So why is Rav saying two revias? The answer is chosen b'chamra mevashla. That's talking about cooked wine. So cooked wine is not as choshev anymore. You only use it to dip your bread into. Therefore, the shear is based on that. But when you're talking about uncooked wine, then it's more choshev to drink. So then we go according to the shear that it takes to drink it. Then you need two revias of it. No. Cooked means exactly what it sounds like. Like when we have nowadays yain mevushel, which then a goy can touch. That's what we mean. Yeah. Nowadays you actually have a machlokas a poskim achronim whether pasteurized wine nowadays is that hard enough to make it yain mevushel or not. Ramosha holds that pasteurization is generally enough to get it to be yain mevushel. And when you have most wines are labeled yain mevushel, then that's based on that. You have the Tselema Rav held that it has to be a higher temperature. According to him, many of the wines that we consider mevushel might not be. But in the times of the Gemara, anyway, they didn't have pasteurization. They were just, if they were going to cook wine, it would just be on an open fire, and it changes the taste, and it changes the texture, and whatever, and therefore, when they pasteurize it, yeah, they do it under lower pressure, yeah.
So they get it to a lower, they increase the pressure.
And therefore it boils at a lower. You know, whatever it is. The point is that, yeah, if they pasteurized the wine at regular pressure at sea level, then it would only boil at 212 or close to it. Because they do it under, I think it's under lower pressure, I don't remember, then therefore it boils at a lower point, it boils at about 170 degrees, so is that considered bishul or not? Yeah.
It's still boiling, but...
Anyway. Okay. So we said that if you're using vinegar, it has to be enough to dip in it. So actually, I said it a little wrong, actually. I said zesim refers to the next thing. If you're going to use zesim over tzalim, so chometz kedei l'tavelboy is enough to dip your bread in it. Zesim over tzalim, if you're going to use olives or onions, then you need enough to eat with two meals. So okay, chometz kedei l'tavelboy. Right. So Amr of Gido Amr of Kedei L'Tavelboy Mozen Shtei Sodas Shoyera. What it means with vinegar is, if you have enough vinegar to dip into it two meals worth of vegetables. So in other words, the idea is you're not necessarily dipping your bread in vinegar. For that, you would use, for example, cooked wine. You're using the vinegar to dip vegetables that you're eating together with two sodas. Ikeda Amri Amr of Gidol Amarav Yera Kanechal B'Shtei Sodas. Another version is Rav Gidol Amarav says the vegetables that are eaten as part of two sodas. The first lotion is you're talking about, let's say you're making a meal of only vegetables and you would dip them in vinegar. The second version is you're eating a meal of bread. Together with the bread, you're eating some vegetables, and you dip the vegetables in vinegar. So, of course, according to that second one, it comes out to a much smaller amount, because you eat a lot less vegetables when you're eating together with bread than you would if you were just making a meal of vegetables themselves. Okay. Then we said, we said if you're using olives or onions, then you need enough to eat two sodas with. So the question is, are you b'chlal allowed to use onions for an eruv? V'hatanya, Amar Rav Shimon Elazar, pam achas Shabbos Rav Meir ba'Audiska. One time Rav Meir spent Shabbos in Audiska, the name of a place. Uba Adam Echad Lefanav, a certain person came to see Rav Meir. Amalai, he says, Rebbe, a ravki b'vitzolim lativin. I made an eruv tchumen with onions to be able to go to Tivin. And Audiska, where a mayor was for Shabbos, is on the way. So I put an eruv tchumen 2,000 amos away from my home in some other city with the intention of walking all the way to Tivin, which is going to be now within 4,000 amos. And Audiska is on the way. So Audiska is outside his original tchum, but it's within the tchum of his eruv tchumen. However, Rav Meir made him sit within his four amas because, in other words, he's saying to him, you didn't have a valid eruv. And if you don't have a valid eruv tchumen and you go outside of your tchum, the din is, we're going to learn in the next parak, you're only able to move within your four amas. So Rav Meir, in other words, in effect, is telling the guy, you didn't make a valid eruv tchumen, so therefore you're outside your tchum and you have to stay within the four amas for the rest of Shabbos. Tosfos actually discusses over here a couple of possibilities. One, now, but we have a din, we're going to learn in the next parak, that if a person mistakenly went outside the tchum and wound up in another city, then he's able to walk in that entire city. Because the city itself is counted like four amas. So why over here is your mayor making him stay within four amas? So one possibility is Tosfos says it wasn't in Audiska itself. It may have been right outside the city. So So when we say the mayor spent Shabbos in Odessa, we don't mean when this guy came to him, he wasn't necessarily in the city itself. He was right outside it, within the tchum. Lavdavka, it could be he was sitting out in the field. I don't know. Anyway, so that's one possibility. Another possibility, Tosfos says, is Rabbi Yeshua says over there that no, even if a person went outside the tchum there by mistake, he still gets only 4 amas. So the mayor may have held that way. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that we see the mayor is saying you can't use onions because therefore he's saying you didn't have a valid eid of tumen. So the answer is like kasha haba olim haba imahos. There's a difference whether you're using the onion leaves or whether you're using the onion bulb itself. The onion leaves are edible, and there are varieties of onions. Think of like you buy in the store scallions. There's a tiny bulb, and then you have long leaves growing out of it. But here, Bapashtus, we're talking about regular onions, also produce leaves. The leaves themselves are edible, but they're not really very good for you, and therefore, so therefore, the mayor is saying you can't use those for an eruv. Yeah. So on the other hand, if you're talking about using the onion bulb, then that would be fine. That would be what Rav is saying, that you can use onions that you can use onions for your eruv. Okay. Yeah. So for the onion, it doesn't have to be food that's ready to eat, right? That's, we said wheat or barley, for example, we said are not ready to eat, right? Right. But on the other hand, when it comes to an eruv, it has to be food that's ready to eat now, right? Okay. So D'tanya, as in fact, we learn in a braisa about the difference between the onion bulb and the onion leaves. Achal botzel v'hishkim umes. If a person ate onions and then he woke up the next morning and died right away, ein oimim m'mames. You don't have to ask what killed him because the onion must have killed him. And Shmuel says that that's only talking about the leaves. The bulb, there's no problem. The bulb is okay to eat. It's the leaves that are no good for you. And even when it comes to the leaves, when we're saying they're dangerous, it's only eladalai ivtsil zirta. Only if they didn't grow a zeres in length. A zeres is a half an amma. So if the leaves have not yet grown to the length of a half an amma, then they're dangerous. Then they have this constant, you have the stuff in onions that makes you cry. You also have it in very concentrated form in the leaves, and therefore it's bad, for you. But if the leaves have grown to a zeres, if they grew to the length of a zeres, less one ba, then there's no problem with it, and then you're able to eat them, and it won't be harmful. Amar Papa. So the Papa says, furthermore, here is a further condition on this that we're saying that onion leaves are dangerous. Lo yamaron eladala ishti shichra. That also only applies if the person didn't drink beer. But if you drank beer, then there's no problem because the beer helps counteract the effect of the leaves. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Tana Rabbanan, lo yoichal adam batzel. A person should not eat a raw onion, mifnei nachash shaboy, because of the nachash in it. Rashi explains that the nachash means, again, this sharp stuff in the onion, the stuff that makes you cry. It's called eres. It's called poison. So it can be harmful to you. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Chananel. No, what it means is if you open up an onion, you have the little part, the onion is made of layers on top of layers, and in the middle over there, you have this sort of like stem thing in the middle, which is where eventually when the onion matures, the seeds grow in there. So that part is called the nachash. So you shouldn't eat the onion because the nachash particularly is dangerous. It's inside the onion bulb itself. You have like the central stem sort of, and then you have a layer of the onion and another layer of the onion and so forth. Yeah. It happened once that Rav Chanina ate half an onion, and together with it he ate half of the nachash. So according to Rashi, what does it mean? If he ate the onion, of course he ate half the nachash, because the nachash, according to Rashi, is the sharpness of the onion. That's why Tosfos prefers Rabbeinu Chananel's explanation that we mean that central part of the onion. It's possible to eat the onion without eating that. In this case, Rav Chanina actually ate that as well. V'chola, so he became sick, but not the lomos, and he was close to death. His chaverim, the other chachamim, davened for him, and he survived because the time needed him. In other words, because he was one of the great chachamim, and they needed him. Now, what do you mean? Should they not daven for him? If not, if ain't hashal tzrichaloi. So the Ritva explains, because after all, he put himself in danger. We just said, the chachamim said, he went against that. He went against Dibre chachamim. So maybe we should have taken the view. You know what? Then fine. It's his fault. And maybe we shouldn't daven for him. But because Ashar Tzrichalai, because they needed him so much, as one of the Chachamim, therefore they davened for him. Reb Taufin laid down and they told him that Kedai HaYisaloch HaBatzmacha. I guess it's a somewhat similar thing. Yeah. The Maushah over here gives a different explanation. This Reb Chanina over here is Reb Chanina ben Dosa. Usually, you know, Reb Chanina ben Dosa is the famous one of Davin for everybody else and his Tzrilas were accepted. But here, he himself was sick and we know a concept called En Chovosh Matar Atzim Vesasurim, the person in jail can't get himself out of jail, therefore his Chavedim had to Davin for him. It was their turn to daven for him because he wasn't able to daven for himself, right? Okay. All right. More on the topic of what you're allowed and not allowed to use for an Eruv. Amr Abzeda Amashmo, Shechar, Beer, Ma'arvinba, you're able to make an Eruv, Tchumen with beer. Upoisel, Samikra, Beshloisha's Lugin. And by the way, here's another din about beer that if three Lugim of it fall into a mikvah of less than 40 saw, it will make it possible. We know a concept, we learn it in the Mishnayas, Yesh Malanath a mikvah for a Yotzite and whatever, that if you have a mikvah less than 40 saw, and three lugim of mayim shogim fall into it, then it passels it, and you have to drain the entire mikveh, and then and only then refill it. So Reb Zeira wants us to know that beer has the same din, because beer is basically just water with flavoring in it. So maskeflor of Kahana, so Rav Kahana says pshita. Of course beer would passel a mikveh. V'chim ma ben zela meitzeva. Why would it be any different than dye water, water that you have dye mixed into it? And that also, the Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah over there, Rav Yossi and meitzeva posan as a mikveh v'shloshes slogan. That Rav Yossi says in the Mishnayas over there, that dye water passels the mikveh if three lugim of it fall into the mikveh. Now, what we have to realize, in other words, is there's two different ways in which liquids can passel a mikveh. You can have where they're considered water, and then the shear is three lugim. You can also have a different din when, for example, juice falls into a mikveh. So three lugim of juice are not going to passel a mikveh because they're not water, but on the other hand, if they're enough to discolor the water, then they passel it. So there it doesn't depend on three lugim. There it depends on the concentration of the juice that fell in or whatever. No, we have Rabbi Yechon Menuri over there in the Mishnah. It says Akola L'chacha Amara. That's a specific case over there. That's when you have part of the three lugim is made up of a different liquid like milk. That's a special case. But in general, Rabbi Yossi says that dye water passels the mikvah with three lugim. Meaning, and the Mishnah continues, the in posanosa b'shinei amara. Meaning, in other words, we don't care if the dye in it discolors the water. That's not going to be a reason to passel the mikvah because there's not really mamoshus of the dye in the water. It's just the color. But it's going to be considered water, and therefore the three lugim rule applies. So if that applies to dye water, how much more so it should apply to beer? So what's the chiddush? The answer is Amri. The answer is Hasa Maya Detziver Mikri. Because you have to look at the terminology. Mei Tseva is called that. Mei Tseva, it's called dye water. So therefore, it's people call it water. So therefore, it's logical that it should have the dinim of water for that purpose. Hacha Shichra Ikri. On the other hand, here, we don't call it water. We call it beer. So you would think that maybe it's not considered water as far as these dinim. And therefore, Reb Zeira wants us to know that it still is considered water. Well, it means that you need three lugim of it. It means that even if it discolors the water, then we don't care about it. But if you have three lugim of it in the mikveh, right? Another difference is, by the way, the discoloration issue would apply whether the mikveh is 40 saw or whether it's less than 40 saw. Either way, if it's discolored, it's possible. If we say the problem is three lugim, then that would apply only if the mikveh is below 40 saw. Once the mikveh is 40 saw, you can pour in three lugim. I am sure of them, and there's no problem. Okay. Over Kamam Arvin, so now the question is, okay, so if you can use beer for an Eruv Tchumen, how much of it do you need? Savar of Acha, Breder of Yosef, Kameder of Yosef, Lamemar, so Rav Acha, the son of Rav Yosef, in front of Rav Yosef, who was his father, thought to explain, Betrain Rivi Shifra. Maybe what you need is two lugim of beer. A lug is called a river because it's a quarter of a calf. So you would need then two lugim of beer, he thought to say. What's the logic? Now, the logic is like this. We learn in the Mishnah and Shabbos, Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Mezigas HaKos. If a person carries out each kind of food or object that a person carries out on Shabbos, we learn in the Mishnayos and Shabbos, there's a certain minimum shear for of that item which is considered useful on a regular basis, and therefore only if a person carries out that amount as he chayav of chatas, so skila or what have you, as opposed to if it was less than that, it's only osur midrabanan. So we say that if he carries out wine, then the amount he has to be chayav for is kedei mezigas hakos, the amount it would take to mix a cup of wine. So we learn in a braise that it means enough to mix a good cup, the kind that you're going to use, for example, for kiddush or for other things where you need wine. My kos yofa kosra bracha. That means the kosra bracha for kiddush or benching or whatever. The amar of Nachman, amar of Avavua, kosra bracha tzorach sheheba roiv ravias. The kosra bracha has to have in it a quarter of a revius, Kadeshim is again over Yamadar revius, so that when you dilute it with water, then you have a revius. Now Rashi over here learns that what it means is like this. Again, we said a lug itself is called a roiva because it's one quarter of a kav. So Rashi over here learns that it means you need to have one revius, you need to have one full revius of raw wine, so that when you dilute it with three parts water, you're going to have one full lug of drinkable wine. Now, Tosfos over here explains that no, because you don't need a full lug for a kosher bracha, you only need a revius. So Tosfos learns that it means actually you need the amount of raw wine would be a quarter of a revius. So revius, according to Avraham Chaim Noah, is about 3 ounces. So according to Rashi, you would be chayav on Shabbos only if you carry 3 ounces of wine. According to Tosfos, if you carry about 3/4 of an ounce of wine. And then if you were to dilute that with water, then you would get 3 ounces of drinkable wine, which would be a revius. Rashi himself, by the way, in Eruvin, actually explains like Tosfos does over here. And Rashi over there says, in fact, it's a mistake to explain the way he explains it over here. So why does Rashi change his mind? Okay, it's the one... A couple of Achronim explained because over here we're talking according to Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef over there in the Gemara and Shabbos has a different understanding of the mission over there. So therefore Rashi over there is explaining according to the Shitta of Abaya and Rava that it talks about over there in the Gemara, whereas here he's talking according to Rabbi Yosef. Anyway, the point is, so what's the point? Now, why do you need 3 parts water of chidur Rava? Like Rava says, the Amar Rava, kol chamra delay dori al chad plastmaya, wine that is not diluted with 3 parts water, lav chamra, who is not considered wine, so you need 3 times as much wine as water. Now, so that's as far as wine. So again, according to Rashi, you need a revius, and according to Tosfos, you need a quarter of a revius. Now, v'toni Allah, then we can, v'katoni sefer, then the Mishnah continues over there, u'sh'ar kol ha'mashkin b'revius, all other liquids, you need a revius in order to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos, v'chol ha'shoifchin b'revius, and all kinds of waste water also, dirty water or whatever, you also need a revius in order to be chayav. The point being that midahosam al chad arba, so we see that the shear for other kinds of liquids, for example, which includes beer, is 4 times as much as for wine, because for wine you need a revius, and for all the other ones you need, according to Rashi, you need a full log, or according to Tosfos, for wine you need a quarter of a revius, and for all the other ones you need a revius, so it's 4 times as much. Therefore, hachanami al chad arba. So the logic is, we said on Amud Aleph that wine you need for an eid of chatzeh, for an eid of tchumen, you need 2 revius, a half a log. So therefore, the logic is, beer, you need 4 times as much, and you'd wind up with 2 logim. But the Gemara says, v'loyi, that's not correct. The difference is, hosam, who the reason why by Shabbos you're only chayev for carrying a revius of other kinds of drinks, the batsimi hachi loy choshev, because less than that is not choshev, and on Shabbos you're only chayev for carrying something that's choshev, unless you yourself decided that this was more important to you, called achshavei. But otherwise, less than that wouldn't be significant. What? Achshavei means you made it choshev, right? Aval hocha loy, but over here you don't need as much. Davidi inchi, the shosu, cost of a tzafra, of a cost of a panya, it's common enough that people drink a cup of beer in the morning and a cup of beer at night, the samchi ilabayu, and that's good enough for them for the day, so therefore all you need is 2 cups, 2 revius of beer. You don't need 2 lugim, all you need is 2 revius. Okay. And to be continued tomorrow, Baz Hashem.